Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code TBPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with DraftKings daily fantasy lineups. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all of the daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code TBPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot of millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code TBPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. This is the SpursCast, episode 609. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. In today's episode, I will be discussing the Spurs losing Derek White to injury for the rest of the season and the impact White's injury will have on Lonnie Walker IV, Keldon Johnson, and Devin Vassell. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. So before we begin with the news about Derek White, I want to first address the last three games that the Spurs have played since I last recorded back on a week ago on Friday. From this day that you actually listen to this, so it should be on a Friday. So let's begin with the Spurs, how they did in their most recent games. Okay, so they went 2-1 in their last three games. Let's go back to Saturday. They got a 2-point win in New Orleans against the Pelicans. This is more so sort of like an upset win for the Spurs because they were the underdog in this game. The Pelicans were favored. Both teams had pretty much most of their players available, their core players. So this was a close game throughout, but the Spurs did hold on to win by 2 points in this game. Then on Monday, the Spurs spoiled a 8-game winning streak by the Washington Wizards. You know, they were trying to go for 9 games in a row, but the Spurs actually went to Washington and took overtime, but they were actually able to give the Wizards a loss there by 3 points. I think it was 146-143. This game, you know, is very notable because unfortunately for the Spurs, this is the game where Derek White got injured, and then as I'm going to address a little bit later, we did learn that he was going to have to miss the rest of the season. The Spurs were favored in this game when they beat the Wizards. Then we go to the most recent game, which was on Wednesday. This is more so of an understandable loss, I would say. The Spurs lost by 5 in Miami to the Heat. They had just lost a week before to the Heat as well in San Antonio. Miami was favored in this game. The Spurs were playing their first game without Derek White. And for the Heat, Tyler Hero was out. He was out due to injury. Miami did lead by 10 late, but the Spurs did make some sort of charge back to try to make it very competitive toward the end, where they actually had a chance to try to tie where they made it a one possession game, but they couldn't quite make that full comeback. And so the Heat did hold on for that 5-point win. So again, the Spurs go 2-1 in their last three games since I last recorded here on the SpursCast. Let's go through the state of the team, where they stand. Again, this is on Thursday evening that I am recording this. So they have 11 games left for the regular season. They are 31-30, ninth out west, which puts them in position right now for that playoff game. They're 18th on offense and 10th on defense. You know, if they don't get into the 7 or 8 seed, well, then they're going to get a lottery pick. And right now that would be projected to be the 14th pick since they are at the ninth seed. They do have the hardest schedule left in the NBA, and that's also keeping in mind that the Spurs still do not have any consecutive days off. They always have a game either every other day or there's some back-to-backs. They're actually closer to getting the 7 or 8 seed out west than they are from falling behind to 11 or 12 and falling out of the playoff picture. So right now, the Spurs are tied exactly with the Memphis Grizzlies with a 31-30 record each. The only reason why the Grizzlies are in eighth is because they won the season series 2-1 against the Spurs this year. Then the Spurs are 2.5 games behind the Portland Trailblazers, who are currently in seventh. Now, as far as the Spurs falling out of the playoff picture, that doesn't look very likely as of right now, because the New Orleans Pelicans, who are 11th, are currently 4.5 games behind the Spurs, and they actually aren't playing very good basketball right now. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And then behind them, the Sacramento Kings are actually struggling as well, where they're currently in 12th, and they're 6.5 games behind the Spurs. But even the Kings are playing even worse at 3-7 in their last 10 games. So again, right now, you know, expectations look just right now with 2.5 weeks left in the season that the Spurs would either be in that 9-10 game, or if they play well, then they could jump up to 7 or 8 most likely. So that's kind of where the state of the team is right now at this point. Let's move on to our main story of this podcast, and that's the unfortunate news that Derek White is out for the season with that right ankle sprain. So before the game on Wednesday against the Heat, Coach Pop was asked, what's the status on Derek White? Because the Spurs had initially just, they put out on the injury report, they didn't give any kind of like timetable or anything like that. But Coach Pop says that basically, they don't expect him back this season. It's not good, but one thing that's, I guess, some positive news is that Derek doesn't need any kind of surgery. So maybe there's no like ligament tears or anything like that. It's an injury where it's going to probably just take time to heal. And because of the timing with 2.5 weeks left of the regular season, the Spurs probably just weren't going to bring Derek back with just 2.5 weeks left. And then plus, if they get into the 9 or 10 game, well, then it's just a one game that the team would play. Or if they get into 7-8, so they'd pretty much just go for that first round of the playoffs unless they made a long run. So it looks like they are going to hold off bringing Derek back, and just hope that he's able to recover in the off season and get back to 100% for next season. And you just got to really feel for Derek because he's had a tough season this year. He first had off season surgery before the season even began, so he joined the team late. Then as soon as he came back to the team, he got injured in his first game against the Lakers, where he had that toe injury. So then he had to miss more weeks after that. He finally gets healed up from that. He joins the team. He plays a few games, and then he and some of his other teammates get COVID-19. So then they had to sit out and obviously deal with the effects of COVID, what that does to people whenever they catch COVID. So then he finally comes back, and he was actually playing well in March and April, especially in April. He was having the best month of his season. And then the unfortunate news that he sprained his ankle in that game against Washington. And then a week ago I had discussed with Victoria Villarreal all the stats that Derek was producing this year and the impact he was having on the team on offense and defense. And so we really dove right into those stats. And again, I recommend listening to that last week's episode if you want to hear some of that information. But just a quick summary of like what the Spurs are losing with Derek out on the court. They're losing pretty much like their second leading scorer this past month. Aside from DeMar DeRozan, Derek had really, really taken up the mantle of being that second scorer who drives the ball, who gets the line, can launch from three, especially if a defender goes under on a screen from three. Derek is a very high volume shooter from three. Also creating, he's able to create for his teammates and score, drives and layups and those floaters in the paint. On defense, he was a very switchable defender alongside DeJounte Murray this season, where, if you look at the matchups for the primary and secondary matchups, Derek and DeJounte pretty much almost, it looked like, when you look at that, it looks like they were guarding the same players pretty much each game because they were so fluid in how they were able to just quickly switch matchups, whether it was on a one possession, in the same half court possession, or whether it was just, one of them picking up the next player on a full court possession. So they are going to lose his versatility and being able to switch with DeJounte out on the perimeter and even with Kelton and DeMar as well. He was also, like I mentioned, he was one of the team's few outside threats where he was a volume three-point shooter. So now a lot of that's going to rely, their volume three-point shooter is going to rely on the shoulders of Patty Mills, Lonnie Walker the fourth, and Rudy Gay. And so we'll see if those players can kind of help out and increase their volume of threes and accuracy at the rate that Derek was producing, or at least very close to it as best as they can. And then just defensively, we know that he was a really good shot blocker for his position this season, and he was also one of the top guards in taking charges, especially on this team. He was really the leader in taking charges. So the Spurs lose a lot on the court without Derek, and again, it's really unfortunate for Derek that his season has to end this way, but hopefully he gets heals up and is able to come back next season at 100% ready to go. So now that Derek's going to be out for these last 2.5 weeks of the season, you know, there is going to be some players to keep an eye on and see how Derek's injury kind of impacts their play and what the extra opportunities that they're going to have. And these players that I'm going to address are Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, and Lonnie Walker IV. So let's first begin with Devin. So one thing we saw is that Coach Pop did say, you know, with Derek out, he doesn't want to mess with the bench unit. So he wants to keep Lonnie Walker IV specifically on the bench, coming off being in that very similar to like Manu Ginobili type of role, Coach Pop said. So because of that, he's actually going to start Devin Vassell with the starting group like we saw him do against the Miami Heat. And so, you know, though Devin doesn't do quite, you know, doesn't do what Derek does on offense or defense in terms of, like I mentioned, being able to being that player who kind of takes some of the key matchups on defense, and then on offense being a player who can kind of create for himself and others, Devin's more of your typical, right now just in his rookie season, your more typical 3-and-D type player, where 51% of his shots this season so far are coming from the 3-point line. He's making his threes well, 39% accuracy. He does struggle a little bit on the wide open threes, but he doesn't get many of those opportunities. So we'll see now that he's with the starters, you know, getting more minutes. If maybe DeJounte, DeRozan, Keldon Johnson, they kind of create some opportunities for him to get some more wide open threes, because off the bench with the second unit, he wasn't getting many opportunities for those wide open threes. So again, we'll see if he does get those wide open threes, if he's able to make them with good accuracy the way he's always made his other threes in his overall 3-point shot. So we'll see if that happens. Two things that Devin really brings to this team that we've already seen, you know, with his play off the bench, especially for a rookie, is just his ability to create deflections and also his ability to steal the ball. So he's really good about seeing, you know, what's going on the floor on a possession, and really just anticipating where's the pass going and knowing when to like kind of get involved there and you know, stick his hands in and get tap the ball for himself or tip it to a teammate, and then, you know, they take off for a steal. So Devin's really going to help out with that team concept of defense, where just being a help defender, I would say he's really going to bring some positives there for the team and the starting unit specifically. And then one area I think he's going to really be challenged or tested is we're going to get to see, you know, how does he fare against some of the top players in the league, because when you look at his matchups each night, because he comes off the bench, he plays against a lot of second unit players. And so because of that, he doesn't get a lot of chances to play like the top, starting players for a lot of these teams. And so now Devin's actually going to get that shot. You know, he's going to have to guard some twos and threes that are the starting players for some of these teams in the last 12 games. And so we'll see exactly how he faces against, I would say tougher competition now that he's going to be in that starting role. So that's kind of something to watch for Devin Vassell. Moving on to Keldon Johnson. One thing that Keldon's going to get, I'm just going to focus more so on offense for Keldon in regards to Derek being out. One thing Keldon's going to be able to do a little bit more now that Derek's out is that he's going to be able to drive the ball again. So if you look at the drives per game before when Derek was out, Keldon was driving the ball 8.1 times per game. He was third on the Spurs behind DeRozan and DeJounte Murray. Well, then once Derek came back and he rejoined the team, well, then Keldon's drives went down to 6.9 per game, and he became the fourth leading driver behind it was DeRozan, DeJounte, Derek, and then Keldon. So now Keldon's going to basically get more opportunities now that there's one less driver who, you know, really initiates and attacks from the outside going inside. And we know that that's more of Keldon's comfortable place, is to be putting the defense on their heels, really being aggressive, being physical, trying to get to the foul line, trying to you know, create physical contact on his drives in the paint. Yeah. And so his secondary shot is to go to that 3-point shot. Again, that's only if he's forced to, because the defense is leaving him wide open. So again, that'll be something to watch, is does Keldon, you know, start producing a little bit more on the offensive end with more opportunity that should be there for him. Something else to watch, though, is his off ball. What does he do when he doesn't have the ball in his hands? Because that's something where now that the Spurs is starting unit, you know, they are adding Vassell, but they're still losing one of their top 3-point shooters. And so Keldon might, when he doesn't have the ball, he might, you know, defenses might be leaving him open, so he has to be ready to knock down that wide open three and continue to try to improve that accuracy. He's actually been improving it pretty well these last few games, where he's at 36% now for the entire season on wide open threes. He does want to try to get to about 38-40% to really make a defense worry and not back off of him when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. And then maybe also finding other ways to impact the game on offense when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, maybe doing a lot of backdoor cuts. Those have worked well for him lately. Also maybe just attacking the offensive glass when he knows that a possession is not going to go to him. So again, there's some opportunity there for Keldon. Let's see what he does in these last 12 games now with Derek White out. And then the last player is kind of the role, or not the role, but the opportunity could kind of be there more so on offense, I think, for Lonnie Walker the fourth. You know, like I mentioned, Coach Pop said that, you know, he wants him still off the bench to kind of provide that energy, that spark for this team, very similar to what Manu Ginobili used to do for the Spurs in the past. And Walker's going to get some more driving opportunities as well with Derek out. You know, before Derek came back to the team, Lonnie was driving the ball 6.9 times per game. Once Derek returned, it dropped down to about 5.9 times per game. So there's going to be more opportunity as well for Lonnie to not just be a three-point shooter from outside, but also to create for himself or others, attacking the rim against the defense. And then I think there's going to be a little bit more of a challenge as well for Lonnie to you know, try to be real consistent, because now all of a sudden the Spurs are losing one of their top scorers here with Derek out. And so now there's going to be some opportunity for either Kelden or Lonnie kind of pick up that scoring load, you know, each night whenever, you know, DeMar and DeJounte are providing what they normally provide in their numbers, and seeing who else can be that third scorer. And we know that, you know, Lonnie used to be a starter early on the season. And so those players, you know, he and Kelden and DeJounte and DeRozan, they had a system going for themselves as well before Derek had rejoined the team. So we'll see if Lonnie can find a little bit more consistency and being that spark off the bench from night to night in these last 12 games, and whether you know, his performance or his play rises, you know, with Derek out, for him to have more opportunity. So again, we'll see kind of that. Those are three players that I'm going to keep an eye on in these last 12 games now that Derek's out. You know, just seeing you know, what they do on both ends of the floor, but mainly for Kelden and Lonnie, I'm really keeping an eye on the offensive end for both those two players. So before I close out this episode, make sure you visit ProjectSpurs.com when you have a chance. Colin Reed has his latest Project Spurs audio extra. It's a look at restricted bigs Spurs the Spurs have been linked to. So you know, Colin does a good job here, kind of just talking about some of the players that were in the rumor mill. You know, with the Spurs, Jarrett Allen, Laurie Markkanen, and John Collins, and these are three players who are restricted free agents who the Spurs will have, you know, a lot of cap space this summer, so they can throw some offer sheets at those players. So Colin kind of goes into detail about those players and you know, just provides more analysis there. Make sure you're checking out Michael DeLeon's game previews. He's providing these before the games that take place. And then also Benjamin Bornstein's preparing for the draft still with the Spurs prospect watches each week. The latest one is over Trey Mann, so make sure you check out Ben's work as well. Thanks again for listening to this SpursCast episode 609. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.